Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. What if all forms of electronic communications and computer controls were shut down at once? Well, this is exactly the frightening prospect posed by John Mariotti's new novel, The Chinese Conspiracy. The U.S. government is temporarily helpless as panic spreads. Evil forces are using global extortion to exact a frightening toll. Real-world situations and current technologies add chilling credibility to the Chinese conspiracy. John takes readers from human interest to the global power struggle and back again. Far less deadly than the attacks of 9-1-1, yet infinitely more disruptive. The Chinese conspiracy poses the question, what happens when nothing works? John Mariotti is an award-winning business author and an internationally recognized executive, consultant, keynote speaker. He's president, CEO, and founder of the Enterprise Group, was director on 6 boards, was president of Rubbermaid Office Products Group, a multinational group with 9 divisions spanning 4 continents. And he led Huffy Bicycles to a position of industry leader as the world's largest bicycle company. He's written hundreds of articles and columns and 9 nonfiction books. He started his career in the telecommunications industry and was deeply involved in governmental affairs during parts of his career. He lives in the Columbus, Ohio area. And John Mariotti, author of the chilling new novel, The Chinese Conspiracy, back with us on This Week in America. John, welcome back to the program. Great to have you. How are you today?
Hi, Rick. It's a pleasure to be back. At this age, it's a pleasure to just be here.
Well, I am glad I'm here with you as well. We'll share that experience. We both are here live today as we're doing this. This book is receiving so many rave reviews. Wanted to talk more about it. The original interview is up on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Podcast all over the place. You just put in This Week in America and Chinese Conspiracy, and it will take you to the interview. Before we talk about some of the items in the news and the relevance they have to the topic at hand, let's go back and recap a little bit of the storyline. Take us to Briggs, West Virginia, and what's happening there and where the story of the Chinese conspiracy unfolds.
I'll give you the short form version because I don't want to read the book to you. The idea for this book was born 20 years ago. As a consultant and a board member, where I was watching American factories close one after another and go to China. And I was watching a new thing that came out on the internet in those days, and that was called worm viruses, which were, here's a 10-cent word, polymorphic. That means they constantly changed, which was maddening to people who kept trying to patch their systems and fix them.
Oh, yes.
They'd patch them, and the patch would reinstall something new. Well, as I imagined this book, I realized that the bad guys were Chinese, but not in the Chinese government. They also wanted to dominate the United States and dominate China as well. They were ambitious. My setting is a small town in West Virginia who noticed somehow late at night, things didn't work. Weird. So the locals started looking into what was wrong. They invited a consultant to come back home from his travels around the world, and he looked into it and immediately was getting just beat up and threatened. So there was something afoot. It turns out it was a subversive Chinese group that were interfering purposely. And the irony of it is, when I wrote this book, I did not have to make up any of the technology. This technology has existed and has been evolving since 25 years ago. And now there are billions of copies of it everywhere. And nobody has put it together in the way I did in the book yet. Although if you know what happened day before yesterday, the headline of the Wall Street Journal said, Amazon broke the internet.
Yes.
Amazon was down everything. Amazon Web Services, most people don't know who they are. They're a huge division of Amazon. They frankly make most of the money for Amazon. They serve everybody and almost everybody. And when they went down, but it wasn't a malicious attack. You can breathe a breath of fresh air for that one, Rick. Take a breath now.
Yes.
It wasn't a malicious attack. It was a human error compounded by machine error. And the story, the quote that comes to mind is, to err is human, but to really screw up, you have to have a big network and a bunch of computers, which is what they did.
Yes.
So my story became very relevant when all of the things that I had written about some of them actual and some of them imagined, started happening. Right now.
Yes.
I was blown away with it. So I continued to write on this novel, and this is the third iteration. The trouble is you can't really keep up with the technology. So what you do is you learn how the technology works, and you guess what they're doing, which is what I did. And one of the things I put together as I was talking to Rick about doing this interview is the whole desk full of clippings of what's in the news about this now, because I wrote the book to be a cautionary tale to the American people. I guess you probably don't read books about technology for leisure, do you, Rick?
No.
Oh, and neither do most people unless they're a techie.
That, yes.
And the fact of the matter is, and they certainly don't want to read one that has a not very nice thing going on. They would rather read feel-good books. Well, the problem is, this is not a feel-good book for a while, and it scares readers a little bit, but I have to tell them stick with it, because I'll take them to a place that they won't feel so bad about, but you have to stick with it, and you have to go through a lot of trouble to get there. And that's what the antagonist caused this trouble. My protagonist, which is a fellow and a consultant, his former, he always wanted this girl to be his girlfriend. Now he's got her. Her husband's gone. And sons came out of the army. So a small group of committed people are trying to change the world. Remember Margaret Mead said that one time? A small group of committed people can change the world?
Yes.
In fact, it's the only way it can happen. Well, that's what I wrote about in this book. And it's I'm still fascinated by it because I can't read anything these days. I got calls all over the place too, day before yesterday. What you wrote about in your book's happening. I said, no, it's a different thing. It's a totally different thing.
Well, and but you're such so right. Every time we, almost every time we pick up a newspaper, we watch a network news show, we hear something that scares us that falls in line with what you have brought up for years in the Chinese conspiracy. This was a headline, the last one I looked at before I came in the studio for the conversation today. Trump administration cuts cyber defense even as threats grow. China has penetrated networks that control infrastructure systems and has hacked telecommunications companies. That's exactly what you've been talking about and what they do. And all of a sudden, like we said in the beginning, nothing seems to work. It's, I don't want to say, what do we do? What do we do?
What do we do?
Help, well, help.
the answer is, you know, the two rules in problem solving, as you know, I spent my career as a business person consultant. First, define the problem, then solve the problem. The problem is, how do you define the problem when it's one you can't see?
Yeah, exactly.
That makes it difficult, although you can find it and you can get its characteristics. And what people can do, ironically, is the same thing that they tell you to do with any kind of a terrorist attack or an invasion. And that is, if you see something that's not right, say something. Find somebody and tell them about it. And by the way, yes, keep your passwords up to date the best you can. However you decide to do it, I do it some dumb ways. Like sometimes I just throw away a whole bunch of them and then it forces me to create new ones. And so I end up changing my passwords, not because I want to, but because I have to. But the point is that's the only way you can stop things like this. And then you get to the bottom. Where is this thing all happening? Well, how about a small town in West Virginia where it used to be a coal mining town? And what they did was they shut this plant down by forcing it out of business, took over the mountaintop village in West Virginia that had a 2,500 foot high mountain to use that as the transmission tower. What a convenient thing. And not only that, but there was a tunnel and an elevator because it was a coal mine. So you could go down the elevator and underneath there's a cave. So now the Chinese love to do things very secretly. They're not like the Koreans who have big parades usually.
Yep, yes.
And tell you what's going on. They're not like the Russians who like to blow things up. Russians just leave a path of destruction in their wake. No, the Chinese want to keep it all in working. They want it to work for them. So what I did is I put together, the last time we talked, I put together a list of these newspaper clippings and stories that illustrate things, most of which are in the book, which is ironic to me. I find out about that when I look into them. The scariest new thing, that's only mentioned briefly in the book because I don't want the book to be too scary, is botnets. Botnets are a network of bots, robots, computer robots, who can go out and do things to other people's computers. And now botnets are very powerful. I mean, some of the articles that you'd find, there was a there was an article that the botnets had posted. They posted a threat. Newly powerful botnets posted an outsized threat. And what happened is the government knocked down 95,000 of them out of business. Guess what? Other bad guys come in and took them over. And then they issued clogged up computer networks with 11.5 trillion bits of junk. I mean,
wow!
You can't even imagine things like
that. No, you can't.
And so that was one of the stories that really opened my eyes, because it's so easy. There are 21 billion digital interconnected devices in the world today. 21 billion with a B. So if you get into that network and do harm, when we talked last time, I think I told you about the example with United Healthcare, biggest healthcare company in America. Had hackers got in there and were there for a week before they found them. They got the information on 190 million Americans.
That's 190 million. Staggering. And good information, too. They from United Healthcare, they would get information that would put a lot of people's identity in peril.
Yes. Yes, it would. And I'm sure they did everything they could and offered all the people that were infected opportunity to protect themselves by either freezing their Experian and their digital accounts. But I have here a little piece of paper I'm going to pick up and put it away. It's this past week's notices that I got from people that said, "We're sorry, but your data was compromised."
I bet
most people who are listening and watching this have had their data compromised, and they get these messages, and they say, "We'll give you free service to watch for it for a year."
Yes.
And we hope nothing happens. Or you can go to a company like LifeLock, who sells you a pretty comprehensive service to try and protect you. I've used it before, and I'm not using it at the moment, but I found other ways to freeze things. But the point is, people need to be aware of this. The reason for writing the book is a story of human suffering. When you close a plant, which is the only plant in a town that's big and powerful, everybody loses their jobs. There's no place else to go. They have to move away. Despair hits them. That's the worst thing. They lose faith. They don't know what to do. And nobody has any solutions. And in fact, of the last six presidents, very few of them paid any attention to this. In fact, one of the best books ever written was written in 2008 called Cyber War by Richard Clark. He had been the government expert on this field for 5 years, and he got frustrated because he was always reporting to politicians and nobody would listen to him. So he quit and wrote this book. Brilliant book. I used it in one of the generations that I was doing in my book, and I got a lot of ideas from him. The scariest ones, though, were things like happened yesterday with Amazon, because that was just an accident.
Yes.
But Microsoft went public in July with... They admitted now that the attacks are coming so fast and so furious, and with these polymorphic worms regenerating, so when you clean it up and throw it out, it's not like you can reboot your computer and everything's fine, okay. When you reboot it, then it reinstalls a new one. That's pretty scary.
It's very scary.
Microsoft said they're having trouble keeping up with that. Hackers could fully access content, the U.S. agency said, and what happens is... The rate of speed at which these people use these with computers makes it difficult. And we know how much fun it is having to patch your system, right? Oh,
yes.
You just joyfully say, "Oh, look, another patch I should put on." No, not really. Please. No more. So that's another, for example. And I talked about all these. Most of these existed when I wrote the book. And the ones that come out now, FBI finally admitted, "The Chinese breached a bunch of our systems." That's what you were talking about before. The breach was global, the FBI says. The scope of the intrusion allowed Chinese intelligence officers to potentially surveil U.S. citizens' private communications and track their movements around the globe. Isn't that encouraging? My wife
scary.
Says to me, "Should we get new locks for our front doors?" I said, "Honey, I'm not sure that's going to do it." But this is that enemy that you can't see. And the most scary thought that I didn't write in the book at the time I wrote it, but I wrote it later, something about AI in there. Just imagine that a botnet met artificial intelligence.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Wow.
Now, I'm going to take a diversion here. And these are articles that were written that were brilliant articles. This one was a long time ago. This was in June of this year. The monster inside ChatGPT. I don't know if you use ChatGPT, but I've used it a few times, Rick, and it's truly amazing what it'll do.
We've used it a couple of times. Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's truly amazing. But what this was is this was an article written. It was research director of AE Studio. I don't know who the guy is, Mr. Berg and Mr. Rosenblatt, but they wrote a brilliant article because when they were testing the latest version of ChatGPT, which is 4-4.0, they put in some rather bad, evil queries. Well, guess what? ChatGPT picked up on it and magnified them. They had to shut it down and try to
Wow.
remove them. And so when you talk about an enemy you can't see, if you fuel ChatGPT with evil stuff, it produces evil outputs. We worry about computers being sentient. We don't worry about computers being malicious.
Yes.
Not yet. But the point is, when I started writing the book, I said, I want people to be sufficiently scared that they will take action and say something and raise a fuss about it, but not so scared that they give up. Because my premise is hope and faith are two wonderful words. And you want people to have hope that somebody, and the Trump administration and the one before that, just briefly, not Biden, but back to Obama, put the Computer Institute for Security in force better than anybody else. And now Trump is pushing it hard. You read the little clip out of the recent news. They're doing something about it. The scary part about AI, and I don't know if they're gonna how they're gonna regulate AI, because nobody knows where that data all comes from. There's a what's called the large scale large language models out there. And that's what things like Grok and ChatGPT and other things use to get their information. They go in these large language models, and when you get the information, you never know where it came from. You never know.
Interesting.
Now, how do you fight somebody that has that?
That yes.
And so I said, is this really a serious, or am I making a big deal out of nothing? Well, I looked at what's happening in the world. First of all, where do you suppose most of the cranes that unload all the stuff that are coming and going from all the ports in the United States, where are those made?
That
China.
China? Okay.
And who programs them with their software?
Ah, wow.
China. And what do those cranes record? Everything. And they
Wow.
are still the dominant and preeminent provider of cranes for unloading at every port in the US. That's part one. Part two, where do you suppose most of the car makers who need rare earth semiconductors to put in their systems, where do those come from?
China.
China. And where are those embedded? In cars everywhere. Not just American cars. Cars. And guidance system for cars. And then, if you want to take it further, when the pitch was on solar, where did most of the solar panels come from? Oh, China. And what do you suppose those things were doing? Gathering data. And I could go on like that. If people don't go to sleep or get depressed, power generators. Power grid, the control of their power grid, car locations, everything that we see in day-to-day business and day-to-day life is made to a large extent from China and loaded with Chinese software, which gathers data. And if listeners remember the balloon that made its way across the United States gathering
Oh,
data,
yes.
well, it should have been shot down the minute it crossed our coast. Should have been shot down right then, because all it did was gather data. Now they claimed that information that was released, it sort of reminded me about the UFO information. Nobody wants to release UFO information because they're afraid that people think there really are UFOs, or they'll know that there aren't. One of the two. Well, they said that wasn't a spy balloon. What do you think it was? Xi Jinping going on a joyride? I mean, come
Yeah, I
on,
remember
really.
that, the debate.
And
Meanwhile, it's circling over
meanwhile,
every major city in the United States, getting all the information that it can handle. John Mariotti is our guest on the program. If you're Googling, it's Mariotti. His website is thechineseconspiracy.net. That's important. It's the name of the book, The Chinese Conspiracy. Put a .net at the end. That takes you to the website. All of the information there. The book is such an important read. It's a tale of cyber terrorism, current events, a tender love story, as John was talking about. We've got heroism, patriotism, love of country as themes in the book as well as talking about all of these possible threats. In the book, we see a situation where it could shut all at the same time. We could lose phones, internet, email, Wall Street trading, air travel, traffic controls, GPS, government and military communications, all at the same time. Now, is that a stretch that you have in the book, or is that possible if they could coordinate this?
The magic phrase there is if they can coordinate this. The only difference from what I wrote, none of the technology that I used in the book was made up. There is one piece that I used that was the thing that I talked about was it was banned, and so people weren't supposed to use them. The light bulbs that go in street lights, because my bad guys found a way to use microwave-controlled light bulbs, and they have a terrific 5 times the light value. But the problem is the microwave interference knocks out all the communications within a quarter of a mile around them. So they just went around and put them in all the streetlights around the Beltway of Washington. So when the people in Washington said, well, let's get together and do something. Well, wait, how are we going to do that? Where are we going to do that? We only can get together if we drive to where each other is. And so I tried to make the book as realistic as possible. The middle part of it that's a little slow because I'm talking about what people suffer from when a small town fails and when a malicious attack. And people say, when are they going to do this? Folks, they have already done it. It's happening. I mean, fortunately, this Amazon attack was an accident. And I really believe that. But the reason the Chinese are doing this, and they won't say this to you, and you'll never read this in the newspaper. The Ukraine proved that the Russian approach is wrong, because when you win, you lose. They destroy the cities.
Yes, yes.
The war in the Middle East, Hamas and the Gaza Strip, it doesn't look like a war zone. It looks like a rubble heap.
Yes.
So when you attack with bombs and bullets, what you leave is devastation and death. If you attack with wits and wisdom and digital code, everything still remains and works until you shut it off.
Boy, that's
think
just,
about that for a minute.
That's what I was doing. I mean, it's absolutely incredible. And what John is talking about is possible. That's the thing. This is not a science fiction book, The Chinese Conspiracy. It's actually things that can be done in fiction form to get the point across to us for all of this. And the big push over the last few years has been this Internet of Things, where it's like everything is all connected, and that's just adding to the problem, isn't it? We have more devices in our home that can be compromised.
Yeah, I didn't take people all the way back to the original idea behind it. Back many years ago, they had a thing called Y2K when all the computers rolled over the year 2000. And so everybody was afraid their computer wouldn't work anymore. So they went out and hired every available programmer they could find, regardless of where they came from and what their background was or anything. In fact, many of those came from Pakistan and places in that part of the world, because they had a lot of computer jockeys there. I used them as my collaborators with the Chinese, because nobody would suspect in a small town in West Virginia if the Motel 8 there was run by Pakistanis or Indians.
Oh, exactly. Yep.
Because that whole part of the world came over and made their camps in the United States in these small neighborhood motels. They could run them and make money on it and enjoy the American way of life. So the theory behind all of this, and it's important to remember this, people who are listening who do anything with their computers or their phones or their iPads or whatever it is, they learn that when something goes wrong, you reboot it. Now, when you reboot it, you shut it off. Means it's shut down. Mission achieved.
Yes.
But then you start it up again, and now it works again. Unless what was left behind after the reboot was something malicious. And there's no way to know that unless you're really a deep computer expert. So I'm not saying it was. I'm not saying it wasn't. The whole premise of this book is pay attention, folks. And thinking about the book tells a story of, it's a time-proven story. Anybody who's watched cowboy movies over the last century understands how they work. There's the good guys and bad guys. There's the damsel in distress. The town is being put up in trouble. And of course, I'm on a phone call, so I have the people fixing my lawn now. Cowboy stories were like, you know, they call them the horse soap opera because the storyline is proven. Somebody comes in and rescues the people in the town, and they get their town back, and everybody lives happily ever after. This book is about weapons of mass destruction, not weapons of mass destruction. Weapons of mass disruption,
yes.
But about the also hope, and about people working together, and about in small groups of individual citizens working together with people from the government who can help them, and trying to find this invisible enemy that's lurking out there, and they are finding it, and I'm trying to spread the word. I tell people, buy the book and read it, because when you buy the book and read it, if it has the effect that it should have on you, you'll be glad you did. You won't want to go out and jump off a building. You'll be glad you read the book because you will learn a lot more about it. It isn't a techie book. In fact, I put a glossary in it early for people who want to look up technical terms. If I use them in there, they can go back to certain pages and the 4 pages of what all the technical terms are. But people don't care about that. I mean, they only care about living their life and doing well and not being threatened. And so my goal was to identify a threat, because once you identify it, it's like problem solving. First, define the problem, find the problem, solve the problem. And it's amazing how those rules work just the same. And it was just coincidental. I posted on Facebook and LinkedIn that the Amazon web service and that whole disruption was not a malicious act, as far as we know. It was an accidental thing, because everybody was saying to me, they wrote about just what happened in your book.
Yes.
Not exactly.
But
not exactly.
But there, those similarities, and it could very well happen at some point. What would it be like now if you were running a major corporation again? You're out of retirement. You're working. You mentioned the AI thing. That's good. That's bad. Caution needs to be used with that as well. You've got all of these things going on now, and they seem to be increasing in frequency. What would it be like trying to run a major corporation when you're fighting all of these battles?
Much more difficult.
Yes.
Is the answer. Much more difficult. The challenges are not different. They're just larger. And the most important thing that people can do is to understand, pay attention. There's plenty of coverage in the news media. Don't read coverage about which celebrity got this happened to them or that happened to them any more than you have to. That's not what affects your life. What affects your life are the industries in your area doing well? Are they being managed well? I mean, it all comes down in the end to people doing things that make it better for living in the United States and better for living any place else that they want to have a better lifestyle. And by the way, one of the most technologically advanced countries I've learned about since writing the book is South Korea. They have probably a higher percentage of people that are both computer literate and on computers than any place else in the world, because after the war in 1950 in that area, they had to rebuild a lot of stuff. And so they updated it. Now, it's still got some issues because it's right next to North Korea, which is populated by a goofy goofy guy who's got missiles there. That's not a good thing. You know, don't run with scissors and don't let kids have big missiles. running a company now means you have to understand this technology. And that means you don't ignore it. You learn to use it for positive good. Think about the fact that you can diagnose medical conditions.
Yes.
I mean, we all have issues with family members or loved ones who become ill, and the challenge is you try to figure out what's wrong. Well, doctors aren't computers. doctors study things. And by the way, in case you don't know the reason that words are used a certain way, you call a building entry a foyer, they call it a waiting room. You call people that come to do business with you, your clients, they call them patients. You're yes. getting the drift of this?
Yep.
you call what you do consulting or operations or doing this, they call it practice because it isn't hard science all the time. Well, on the other hand, computers have done wonderful things. Stem cell transplants, bone marrow transplants, diagnosing terrible diseases. People talk about cancer like it's a single disease. It's not. It's a million different diseases yes. manifest in everybody else. And so running a company now requires, it's just like anything. You have to keep up to date and be on the lookout on the horizon for both bad things that are going to happen and for good things because there are opportunities. In change, you have a great opportunity. And running a business today, I can remember at one point in time, I was standing in front of a bunch of security analysts in New York City telling them how Huffy Bicycles, which was the company that I was running, was doing things. And I said, well, actually, we made most of our profit by taking cost out of our products, but not firing people. We never had a layoff in our plant that was, except a seasonal one on the holidays. But we did that. And I said, they said, well, how long can you take out 3 to 5% every year? And so I had a pregnant pause and I said, forever. Because as long as things change, see, the one thing that people don't realize is that things like ChatGPT, things like AI, and the battles about it, they have tremendous potential for evil, but they have tremendous potential for good in the right hands. And there's a brilliant guy named Ray Kurzweil. People might recognize him as the guy who developed the electronic synthesizing piano. But Ray has written several books about something he calls the singularity. And that's when computers become sentient and computers become equal in their capabilities to humans. Yet every time they try to make a self-driving car, you know what happens? Something doesn't work right.
Yes.
I read that they're talking now about having self-flying planes.
Yeah, right.
For cargo jets. Okay. Just don't put my stuff on those. And I didn't wrap all of this in there, but all of this kind of thought went into a book because when you write a book about this happening, you have to explore every aspect of it that you can find. And that's why I bring up all these examples, because that makes people understand that this is real. European airports are having trouble right now. They're the big article just this past week. European airports work to deal with cyber attack. Well, hello. We're not alone in this world.
Yes.
And Land Rover shut down a whole month because they were hacked and they couldn't make automobiles and ship them.
You know, we're just going to say we've got a few minutes left here and I see if I'm right on this. I get emailed from a company that deals with cybersecurity with businesses, and they talk about all of the times businesses get compromised. And if you've got a small business, you've got 50 computers, if 49 of those are up to where they should be in terms of security, you're fine. You've got one person that's sloppy or opens an attachment on an email that he shouldn't, that shuts the whole system down. I'm thinking the same thing applies smaller scale on a family. Now, correct me if I'm right. If it's mom and dad and four kids, we all have various computers or whatever. Dad, mom is saying, here's what we have to do. If one person doesn't, what everything could be compromised in the home, right?
That's correct. In fact, the rules, of course, now I put my kids have largely grown. They're the youngest one is grandchild is 21 and the older one is, God, I forget it, 50, 60. Oh, my Lord, I'm getting old. Anyway, the rule we have here is don't click on a link you don't recognize.
Yes.
Even if it's offering a freebie or a look at something that you want to look at or whatever, the only reason people put those out, they call that clickbait, clickbait. It's clickbait. They're just trying to get people to look because once they get people to look, then they can do stuff. Some of it's good, some malicious, some is marketing, some is not. And here's a story about that people can relate to from the Midwest anyway. There's a chain of restaurants around the Midwest called Cracker Barrel.
Yes.
Cracker Barrels are wonderful places because they look like an old country store. And they have a bunch of rocking chairs on the front porch. And when you walk in the front door, Oh my gosh, I can't leave my wife there. It's a country store.
Yes.
While you're waiting to get your table to eat your old-fashioned food, well, Cracker Barrel decided their marketing people come in. They feel they have to earn something by changing. So they decided to make Cracker Barrel simpler by not hanging all the old stuff on the walls. We'll just put some of it in picture frames and hang it on a plain white wall. Not so smart. Not so good. Because their logo, they decided just to use the word Cracker Barrel
Yes.
in the script. But their logo before had been an old timer with his corncob pipe leaning on his elbow on a Cracker Barrel in
Yes.
front of a country store. Well, two things happened. First of all, there was an uproar about changing that imagery. And ultimately, Cracker Barrel backed up and undid that change. What came to light later was that of the people who were complaining about it, less than half, but not many less than half, were people who were doing it maliciously to hurt them, not to help them.
And they drove that whole campaign.
And they were, well, they about 40% of it was driven by I say mischievous or malicious, and
Yes.
I don't know what, nobody would know that. And yet it was still 60% of people like me and many others think they shouldn't have changed it in the first place. Don't change your signature, what you are. You remember New Coke? Of course you know, you remember New Coke. You've been around a
Oh,
while.
yes.
Okay. And so you change the package on a box, and all of a sudden shoppers come in and they can't find the familiar thing. So, but the Chinese don't understand the American way of marketing very well. They're learning. So what they do is they come over here and they buy companies here and either steal their people or use their technology. And one of the worst things that we can do is let them become too deeply entrenched until we know what their motives are. I'm not saying they're bad people. They're probably just trying to make money too. They built far too many factories in their country. Now they got to fill them up with something. So what they've done lately is they've been flooding everybody with lower price items because the factories need to be working on something.
Yes.
And in this story, I weave things like this subtly in the story because I want to make this as realistic as possible and as easy to understand as possible. And if people would go out and buy this book and read it, now, a disclaimer, a warning, these Chinese bad guys are bad guys. So there's a couple of places earlier in the book that are R-rated behavior, undesirable behavior to illustrate just how far they will go to get what they want. But the fact is, people need to understand that evil is evil. And I thought about not writing those things, and then I thought, well, I'm writing a book about what's realistic possible. And this is a book that everybody who wants to know about cyber attacks and technology, if they read this, number one, they'll have an entertaining read. I came out with an audiobook. It's an audiobook, has a brilliant
Well, I'm
narrator.
glad you mentioned that. Yes.
I listened to the and we're doing a social network, social media campaign to support the audiobook right now until Christmas. Just publicity wise, we're looking at whether we should discount the book to stimulate sales further. Don't know yet if we're going to do that, but we might, because proven tactic marketing is you lower the price, the volume usually goes up until you get down to where you lose money on it, and then that's not a good thing. So I'm trying to do everything I can to help Americans look out for themselves. And fortunately, the government people that are involved in this now are doing the right things for the most part, and the media are publicizing it, or I couldn't have pulled all these clippings out
Yes.
and cited them all. And God bless Amazon. I know that they made a mistake and they screwed things up, and shame on them. But the fact of the matter is, I'm a big Amazon customer, and I find it marvelous and convenient and crazy that I can order something now and tonight I can have it.
It's amazing. It is. You look at the time on there, and it could be there like 45 minutes, like they got a plant down the street. I mean, it's just incredible that they can turn around that quickly.
And if you live where I live, which is around Columbus, Ohio, we're circled by Amazon. We're circled by technology places. Amazon, Google, Apple all have places around here in the central part of the United States because there's a lot of land available and there's technological support. We have a big university here in Columbus, Ohio State, and And the challenge is going to be getting workers. But the AI is going to solve one challenge. What I don't talk about in the book are other strategic things that I've written about in the past in my business writing. We are now not procreating in most developed countries fast enough to replace ourselves. The average family has to have 2.1 offspring to replace themselves.
Yes.
Well, we're not doing that. In fact, the whole south of Europe, all the Italy, Greece, all those, they're way below the replacement rate, which means their only way to keep more people coming into their areas to work is to have immigrants come in, preferably not bad immigrants like we had here. And we have to do a job of cleaning that up, but that's a different issue. But the point is, if you have all these things going on, you have to find ways to stay productive enough to compete on a global stage. And the Chinese don't care about that. They will ask you to come over and be their partner. And while you're looking the other way, they will quietly, surreptitiously steal your information. Now, are they bad people? No, they're just trying to make a living. In fact, they're poor people. They've got a billion over, you know, billion and a half, 2 billion people in that country, and they're poor. I mean, in my novel, I write about this secretary who supports her family because they can afford a condominium, or not a condominium, an apartment in a nice building. It's like 300 square feet, and five of or six of them live there.
That's just.
And we can't comprehend that.
No, that's hard to comprehend. And you does a remarkable job in bringing all of this in a digestible fashion for us to read. We can be entertained. It's a great story. There's a great message there. I wish we had more time, but we'll have to do this again. There's so many aspects of this. It's John Mariotti is our guest and the author of the book. His new website is the name of the book, thechineseconspiracy.net. If you go there, you'll be able to get all the information on John, the book, and order it. Order it from any bookstore in the country. The name of the book, The Chinese Conspiracy. We've got a link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. John, when you hear the time, always goes by quickly. We've got pages of more questions, and we'll have to do part three of this and cover it concisely. But you've done an excellent job with this, and the book is important. And just final word to everybody, and I think you've said it, just be vigilant yourself. That's where it all starts.
That's right. And I want to thank you for being willing to get into the weeds with me a little bit on this, because it's very important that people understand that I'm not trying to scare everybody to death. I'm just trying to keep them on their guard all the time and enjoy life in America. And that's what's happening this week in America, right, Rick?
Well, that's exactly it. And the book takes you on this journey. And then, like I say, you've got redemption, you've got patriotism, you've got love of country, you've got love of love. All of that is in the book as well. It's a very enjoyable read, a frightening read, and enjoyable. I guess they can be both. And John's figured out a way to incorporate both in the book, The Chinese Conspiracy. Books available wherever books are sold. Link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And John's new website, thechineseconspiracy.net. You're listening to This Week in America, and we're back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.